Can I have the photograph of that breaking? Look at that. Now, you might think I had special acting lessons for that photograph and went to a professional photographer, but Marion walked up to me in the kitchen with a phone and said, "We're going on Slimming World." And that's the face that I pulled. So we're doing this Breaking Good series. Obviously, you've heard about the television series Breaking Bad. Who's seen that? Sinners. Right, so... And it's about this guy who's good, but he thinks he's been given a year to live. So he thinks, right, I need to provide for my family and stuff. And he starts becoming bad and like breaking into bad habits and bad ways of doing things. And this series is about breaking out of bad habits and into good series. And tonight we're going to look at Zacchaeus. And I'm going to read the story of Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19, for those of you who've got your Bibles. I'm just going to read the story of Zacchaeus to you, and then I'm going to explain a little bit about him, give you the background about what it's all about, and show you what happens to Zacchaeus and how that relates to us and how we can change our lives as well. So this is from Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus the tax collector, it's called. And it says this. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So this is an amazing picture. Jesus is coming towards the close of his ministry, although the people don't realize that at the time. And Jesus sets out from the Jordan and he's headed for Jerusalem. And he's headed for Jerusalem. People think, probably for a showdown with some of the religious leaders. The people know that his teaching is amazing. He's a simple carpenter. And yet when he speaks, people are staggered. The words that come out of Jesus' mouth, there's nothing being said or written since then that comes anywhere close to the saving wisdom words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. Amazing teaching. People are staggered. They love it when he gets in a debate with the educated religious leaders. And Jesus, with seemingly no education at all, totally confuses them and confounds them. The people love it because they're under two yokes. The yoke of Roman rule and the yoke of law, religious law. And they can't bear either of them. One of them would be too much. Two of them is just beyond beyond what they're capable of dealing with. And Jesus is breaking through that all of the time. Amazing. And Jesus sets out the 6-mile walk from the River Jordan to Jericho. And Jericho is an interesting place. It's a big place. It's a rich place. It's a trading post. It's the city that people pass through when they're traveling to the east. And when the people are coming back across the Jordan from the east, they go into Jericho. Jericho is a taxing station where taxes are paid and taken from the people, and that's part of Zacchaeus' role. And Jesus approaches Jericho, this huge place. Jericho's beautiful. Jericho's famous because it has fantastic plantations. Today's been a nice day, hasn't it? Today would have been a chilly day in Jericho. Such a beautiful, warm place. The people used to wear light linen clothes all the time, even in winter, because it was so warm and beautiful. And there was great aqueducts that brought water onto the plains of Jericho, massive plains of Jericho, 10 miles wide, incredible balsam plantations and flowers plantations, beautiful. Josephus, the Roman historian, called it Little Paradise. It was a gorgeous, beautiful smelling place. 50 miles away on the coast, they said that if the wind was blowing from the east, you could smell the perfume of Jericho on the coast. And Jericho means the perfumed. And he approaches this place with all its forts and everything, and its fortifications and all of its richness. It's not just a little village that he's passing through. He's coming to Jericho, and he has absolutely no intention of stopping. He's headed for Jericho, and it says he's passing through. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And there's a crowd with him. And we know Jesus can draw a crowd. His amazing teaching, his miracles, opening the ears of people who are deaf, opening the eyes of people that are blind, casting out demons, healing people of leprosy. Jericho is not far from Bethany, where Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus, who'd been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus was big news in this area. People had heard about Jesus. He caused a stir when he was around. We know that he could gather a crowd of many thousands. We know that on at least 2 occasions. It says when he fed the 5,000 people, it says he fed 5,000 men besides women and children. So maybe 10,000 there. And later he says he feeds 4,000 people besides women and children. So goodness knows how many he fed there. And it was a miracle. It was just from a few fish and a couple of loaves of bread. And he fed thousands of people. So he knew how to draw a crowd. So the crowd is with him, like herding around him, like a shoal of fish, if you like. As he's approaching Jericho, and he's coming to Jericho, and everybody's bustling around him. There'll be those people that love him, those people that have never seen him before and just want to have a look. People that are curious, who is this Jesus? Is he the Son of God? Will he do a miracle? I haven't eaten for a while. Maybe if somebody's got some fish and bread, maybe we'll have something to eat. Maybe he's going to provide for us. Maybe he'll raise somebody from the dead, do an amazing miracle. When people came to Jesus for healing, the Bible tells us he healed them all. Every single person that came to Jesus was healed. I bet in that crowd, I bet there were some people followed Jesus absolutely everywhere. Some of the blind people he healed, some of the deaf people he healed, some of the crippled people he healed, some of the people with leprosy and people he cast demons out, they'd have been in the crowd along with Jesus. But there have also been people that didn't like him. Jesus wasn't bothered. The part of the crowds and people around him were those people that were cynical and who does he think he is? And, you know, something bad's going to happen to him. So let's hang around to see what happens. And he comes into Jericho and the crowd is around him. And Zacchaeus, it says, is a little guy and he can't see. He can't see over the crowd because he's not tall enough. And he can't see through the crowd because it's too thick. So he sees this tree up ahead and he thinks, well, Jesus is coming down this road, so he'll have to pass under that tree, so I'll run ahead and climb it. Now, Zacchaeus is an interesting character. The name Zacchaeus is a Jewish name. He's a Jewish man. Zacchaeus means pure or righteous, but that's not who Zacchaeus is, really. He's a tax collector. Normally, under Roman taxation, what they would do is a sort of wealthy businessman, a Roman, would go to Rome, and he would get the contract to gather the taxes in the Roman Empire. But it was a little bit different here where Jesus was. What they did was they hired the local people, local criminals, and Zacchaeus was a Jewish man collecting the taxes. So the people would have hated him. He was one of their own people, turned on them. He was a criminal, and taxation was absolutely horrific in those days. You paid 10% tax on everything that you grew on the fields, 5% tax on everything you grew in the vineyards. There was a 1% tax on every single person's head. Girls from the age of 12, boys from the age of 14. There was tax for travelling along roads, crossing roads, entering cities, leaving cities, buying and selling, exporting, importing. You couldn't appeal. There was nothing you could do about it. There was no defence. You could be stopped on the road by a tax collector, told to empty all your goods out, and he could help himself, and you couldn't defend yourself, and you couldn't appeal afterwards. It was a heavy burden on the people. It'd be a bit like, can you imagine if the government changed the way they collected tax and said, right, we're not taking out your bank account now, we're going to send someone to your house for it. And they pick all the people, all the tax collectors from the prisons, and they pick the worst criminals who come and knock on your door. They see your wage slip, they demand the money from you, then they see that you've got 2 cars, so they take one of them, they take a few of your beds and other things. And then they say, well, you look quite wealthy, so maybe we'll take a bit more than we were supposed to. And you can't do anything about it. That was Roman taxing. And by one of your own, what a terrible thing. Zacchaeus was an evil man, and he was a wealthy man. But something about Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. He was desperate to see him. He's probably taking a bit of a risk going out in the crowd. I bet a few people were booting him and telling him to get out of it, because he'd robbed many people in Jericho. But he thinks, well, I'll go out, I'll climb that tree. So he climbs the tree to have a look. And that's just like us, isn't it? To have a look. That's why you're in here tonight. Not like everybody else out there. You're trying to get somewhere where you can, I'm interested enough to have a look. I'm interested enough to see, is Jesus real? Does God really exist? When I die, will I go to heaven? Is there a heaven? I'm going to have a look. But Zacchaeus is wise as well, because what he doesn't realize is he's getting in Jesus' line of sight. Jesus is a crowd around him. There's people shouting his name and all sorts of things. And then you can imagine Jesus looks up ahead and sees this guy climbing up a tree. He gets into Jesus' line of sight, a wise thing to do. We don't know exactly why he climbed the tree, other than he wanted to see Jesus. But we know he's brought up as a Jew. He had some understanding about God, about a Messiah that was coming. Maybe he thought, I'm sick of my life. I've got loads of money, but I'm not happy with my life. I know I'm sinning. I know I'm doing the wrong things. I've gone a long way down this road of sin. He's a chief tax collector. He's a chief tax collector. He's managing people. He's orchestrating this robbery and burden on the people. He's gone a long way away from God. Like many of us can do, we can go a long, long way away from God. And maybe he's thinking, maybe there's some hope for me. Can this Jesus, who I've heard about, can he save me? Maybe he's heard that one of Jesus' 12 disciples is also, or was also, a tax collector. Matthew, maybe he's heard about that. Jesus has sinners in his 12 disciples. He chose a man called Matthew. Maybe he'd known about Matthew. And perhaps he was thinking, well, if he was good enough to choose Matthew, perhaps he would choose me too. I wonder what would drive you up a tree into Jesus' line of sight where you are tonight. The Bible says that the eyes of God are everywhere over the whole earth, seeing all of the wicked and all of the good. He sees everybody and he knows what everybody's doing. But when you come to somewhere like this, it's kind of a little bit different. You're getting into his line of sight. You're kind of thinking, if the Jesus is real, if God is real, I'm going to go somewhere where I can meet him, somewhere where he can see me. Getting into Jesus' line of sight is a very wise thing to do. And Jesus comes along and he gets to the spot, it says. I don't know how it worked out, but he gets to the spot and he looks up. Zacchaeus. He knows his name, apparently. I probably don't think he met him before or had heard of him before. It says that Jesus was passing through. He had no plans to stop until he saw this man climbing this tree. And then he decides, he is somebody a little bit different amongst this crowd. He is somebody who's getting out on their own to get into my line of sight. And he comes to the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Zacchaeus, he says, he comes down immediately. He says, I must stay at your house today. What an amazing thing. I mean, Zacchaeus just wants to have a look. He just wants his eyes to fall on Jesus. But it's the other way. Jesus' eyes fall on Zacchaeus. And he accepts him immediately, calls him by name. Jesus knows your name. Your name. He knows it. And when he calls us, he doesn't say, hey, you at the back with the orange t-shirt. He doesn't say that. It's Alan. Alan Jones calls you by name, doesn't he, brother? He knows you by name. He knows us. He calls Zacchaeus and says, I must stay with you. And everybody starts grumbling, which is usual for Jesus. He's going to stay with a sinner. oh, he's going to eat with Zacchaeus. I mean, to go and eat with somebody in Jesus' day was a big deal. It was full acceptance. Full acceptance. It wasn't like a, let's see how you do, Zacchaeus. It's not like, you know, I'll chat to you occasionally and see how you're doing, and I know you're a sinner, and maybe sort your life out a bit, and perhaps we can have a bit of a relationship. No, it's immediate. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I'm coming to your house today. I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to eat with you. I accept you, Zacchaeus, even though everybody else thinks it's a mistake. Interesting, isn't it? Because Zacchaeus had a reputation. He had a reputation in Jericho, and he was hated. But there's an opportunity for us, and there'll be an opportunity tonight, to have a reputation in heaven. To be known in heaven. You're known by God. You go to a war cemetery where they bury unknown soldiers, where they don't know who they are, and on the gravestones it says, known unto God. Which is true, but how are you known? Do you have a good reputation in heaven? Or are you overly concerned about your reputation here on earth? You see, when Zacchaeus was up that tree and called by Jesus, he still had a reputation in Jericho. But it was shifting and changing. Zacchaeus is stunned to be so accepted. It says that Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. When Jesus calls you, it's a wise thing to do, to respond immediately to him. You can't come to God whenever you like. You come when he calls you. When he gives you the opportunity, you respond. When he calls you by name, you respond. You're not responding to me or the church or to your friends that brought you. You're responding to Almighty God. You're in his line of sight. He knows you by name. He's calling you. He wants a relationship with you, and he wants it to start immediately. Immediately. There's no discussion between Jesus and Zacchaeus about what Zacchaeus should do to begin his relationship with Jesus. It's enough that he wants Jesus, he wants to see him. And that's good enough for Jesus, because Jesus knows what's in Zacchaeus' heart. He must have known, oh, this guy doesn't just want to see me. This guy wants to know me. This guy wants to be accepted by me. Amazing. And Zacchaeus says this. Well, first of all, people mock him. If you knew what he was like, which is what often happens when you become a Christian. People won't throw a party. Let me just tell you up front. If you become a Christian and pop into work tomorrow or go to your family and say, I've become a Christian, they won't, ooh, party time. Let's celebrate. Bob has become a Christian. It won't be that. It'll be like, what are you doing? But Zacchaeus isn't bothered. It says he stood up and said to the Lord. I mean, it wasn't just Jesus and Zacchaeus. There were other people around. Jesus had a crowd of people. People would have been crowding around him, pushing in, trying to see what's going on. Zacchaeus probably lived in a big place, a nice big house in Jericho, and there'd been lots of people there. He's obviously quickly made some arrangements, because he says, look, Lord, here and now, like right now, I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. This is called repentance. When you come to Jesus, you have to say sorry for your sins, but it's more than just saying sorry. It's trying to put it right wherever you possibly can, and there's some things we can't obviously put right, but it's making a decision to turn away from those things we've done wrong and start doing good, breaking into good habits like our series, changing what you do, changing how you behave. His sin is in relation to robbing people, poor people, rich people. He was wealthy off other people. He gives half. Can you imagine this? He stands up and says to Jesus, look, Lord, I give half my possessions now Oh, I bet that travelled fast. Whoa. He said he's going to give half his possession. Tell everybody. Get some old clothes on. He's giving away stuff. And he probably had people. He'd have had servants. And he'll have said to them, start giving it away. Give it all away. The poor people in that crowd would have been delighted that had been taking possessions. And then he says, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. And in Jewish law, if you robbed somebody, you had to pay them back four times the amount. So if I nicked Franco's mountain bike and I got caught, I'd have to give him four mountain bikes back. They didn't have mountain bikes then, in case you're wondering. It's just an illustration. But you have to give back four times what you'd stolen. So Zacchaeus is a wealthy man. He gives half of his possessions to the poor. What's going to happen to the other half of Zacchaeus' possessions? They're going to disappear when the news gets around Jericho of all the people that he's cheated. They'll be on his doorstep. You said you would give back four times, like it says in Jewish our law, four times what you stole from me. I tell you, by the end of the day, what it says at the beginning of this passage will not be true. Zacchaeus will not be a wealthy man when the sun went down that night. It's called repentance. It's changing. He was changing the reputation that he has on earth and changing it to a reputation in heaven. Changing. Repentance is turning from your old way, turning to a new way. It's all about, I mean, his reputation. It's unbelievable, isn't it? That morning when he woke up, he had a reputation in Jericho that wasn't good. That night, if he did sleep, when he lay down to sleep that night, he had a very different reputation in heaven. Do you think he was popular in Jericho the next day? Probably not. He's still Zacchaeus, the thieving tax collector. Although he's given away things, people probably aren't impressed. Oh, you're giving me back what you robbed off me anyway. Thanks, pal. Zacchaeus' life completely changed. I bet if you went into Jericho some months later, you'd have found a different Zacchaeus. Not dressed the same, probably. Maybe not living in the same place. Maybe stopping by a tree every now and then and weeping as he remembers the place where he met Jesus. Now, when you meet someone important, someone special, you remember where you met them, don't you? Marion and I met in a castanet class. We just clicked. No, sorry, couldn't resist that. No, actually, we met in a ballroom dancing class. We just took it slow, quick, slow. No, sorry. It's important that you come to Jesus, that you ask him to come into your life, that you respond to him immediately when he calls you. And he is calling you. You know that, don't you? That's why you're in here tonight. You're in here tonight. You've got yourself into the line of sight of Jesus. And he wants a relationship with you. And he wants to start it right now. So I'm going to ask you in a moment to respond to Jesus, to come into a relationship with him immediately. You don't have to get your life sorted out to come to Jesus. You don't have to sort out a few things and reconcile yourself to people and put stuff right. I can assure you, if you start doing that, you'll never come to Jesus. Because as you're putting some things right, you'll be making other mistakes as well. Best to come to Jesus when you have the opportunity. Jesus says to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Now for the Jews, that was such a commendation of Zacchaeus, because people would have rejected him. The Jewish people particularly would have rejected Zacchaeus. But by saying this man too is a true son of Abraham, is fully accepting Zacchaeus. For the Son of Man, which is Jesus, one of Jesus' names for himself, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You play hide and seek when you're a kid, don't you? But Jesus is playing it all the time. Seeking out his kids and looking for his children. And like I said, the eyes of God are everywhere. You can't hide from Jesus, actually. It's like when you play hide and seek with a little kid. I said to my grandchildren, right, I'm going to count to 10 and you're going to hide. So the 4-year-old runs off and hides. 2-year-old goes like this. Because he thinks, I can't see him, he can't see me. And then I have to do the pretend thing. Ooh, I wonder where he is. He's right there, I can see him. That's what we're like with God. God doesn't know. God doesn't know what I'm doing. Of course he does. He knows everything. And he still loves us. Jesus is amazing. Let me give you an opportunity right now to respond to Jesus. When Zacchaeus climbed that tree, everyone would have seen him, not just Jesus. Where's he going? Who does he think he is? Public.